May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I love water. I love being near the water. I love being in the water. We frequently take our vacations near the water. One of my favorite memories of our trip to England was the day we rented a narrow boat and cruised along one of the many canals in the Cotswolds. I find water to be peaceful and calming, even when storms are raging. Why do I love water? Maybe because my zodiac sign is Pisces, which is the Latin word for fish. It's a water sign. And oddly enough, Pisces govern feet. That may explain why one of my favorite treats to myself involves both water and my feet. I love to get a pedicure. I take great pleasure in soaking my feet in warm water while the jets in the foot bath swirl the water, caressing my toes, soles, and heels. I enjoy the care of the employees as he or she gently trims my nails, smooths out the rough patches of my calluses, and massages my feet. I feel fresh and clean when leaving the nail salon. And to answer the question, yes, I had a pedicure today. I would like to think that pedicures are just a different type of foot washing than those experienced in Jesus' time, but I know it wasn't that way at all. Foot washing was both practical and a sign of hospitality. We know that Jesus, and likely his disciples, wore sandals. Remember that in Mark's gospel, for example, John the Baptist proclaims that he's unworthy to untie the thong of Jesus' sandals. Since sandals were worn regularly, unless you were very poor and then you went barefoot, feet were dirty. So knowing this and reflecting on the gospel, let's imagine what it was like when a meal was served. I don't think seating at these meals was like what we experience today. No upright chairs where you're able to tuck your feet under you. No, reclining to eat was a practice at that time. Later in John's gospel, there's even a reference to a disciple whom Jesus loved and who had reclined next to Jesus at the supper. And when you recline, your feet are out for all to see. So having clean feet was generally a good thing, especially around food. Hence the hospitality offered to the guests. In addition, since one did not wear sandals in a home, guests took them off when they arrived or entered the home. The host would ensure that water was brought to the guests and the feet were washed. It was pointed out in an article that I read, foot washing is generally the responsibility of servants. A host or hostess can offer the hospitable act, but it is ordinarily carried out by slaves. Those who receive foot washing are almost always the social superiors of those who render the service. Lastly, and very rarely, in cases of deep love or devotion, a host might wash the feet of another. It is in the last case that we see this act of love by Jesus. In our gospel today, Jesus gets up from the table during the supper. He takes off his outer robe and ties a towel around his waist. He then proceeds to wash the feet of the disciples. Peter, dear Peter, tries to stop Jesus from washing his feet, saying in part, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and head." To which Jesus responds, "One who is bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." Jesus is referring to Judas, who later goes out and betrays him to the authorities. Jesus washed all the disciples' feet, including Judas, the disciple who caused him great pain and suffering. Jesus knew that his death was imminent, and the act of betrayal by Judas would start the clock ticking to the horrific suffering he would endure. Yet his love was so overwhelming, dare I quote the Reverend Craig Lemming and say that it was extravagant, that he loved them all, including Judas, to the end. Our esteemed preacher and deacon, Barbara Mraz, wrote on her Facebook page how the immense pain in the world is reflected on our two of our holiest days. That is Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. Yes, this is a teaser for Barbara's sermon tomorrow. There is so much truth to that. It is pain that we all suffer. I imagine we have experienced a Judas-like person in our lives, someone who we know caused us anguish and distress, emotionally or physically. If you haven't had such an experience, all you need to do is watch the news about those who cause suffering. This past week, for example, there were reports of a young woman who was said to be infatuated with the Columbine massacre that occurred 20 years ago. Her threats prompted school closures in the Denver area. Although she did not inflict physical pain to others, I imagine that she opened up many wounds, especially for those affected by gun violence in our schools and in the world. Whether you have experienced emotional or physical trauma caused by others, or walked with others that have, we are called to love those causing the pain. At the end of our gospel reading, Jesus commanded the disciples and said, "Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This commandment was issued immediately after Jesus left the room. I wonder if this wasn't an attempt by Jesus to remind his disciples that you are to love everyone, including those who hurt you. The good news is that Jesus loves us all. We can turn around our thinking from those that inflict pain on us to when we inflict pain on others, including God. God loves us until the end. Sometimes in our daily lives, we become like Judas, betraying our family and friends and betraying God. Our acts of betrayal and hurt may be intentional or accidental. It doesn't matter. God loves us. Our service will continue shortly with a bid for you to participate in foot washing. This ritual is an opportunity for you to demonstrate your deep and abiding love for one another and for God. I invite you to think about a person that's caused you pain. Use this experience to practice how you can demonstrate your love to that person and to everyone. No exceptions. No exclusions. Amen.